is KFAEDQ, and I'm monitoring. And AZSA.
I felt a disturbance to the force. And I see there's a clapper loose on the highway.
Okay, now I'm going to wash off the car right now, but I'll be on my way shortly.
Alright. See you shortly. That is another thing.
WDAKLL on the mobile.
It's too cold to be out on a lake.
Yeah, you would think.
Well, I remember from my boating days, if it was 80 degrees out on land, it was about 70 out on the water. So it's usually about 8 to 10 degrees colder on the water.
Yeah, it's chilly. We're just on our lake. Near our house, in our city. Just going through my repeater, which is sitting in my basement. Trying to try to get it back up at the site tomorrow or the Tuesday.
Yeah, there's some talk about people not being able to get in anymore. I think you changed your PL tone too or something, but yeah, okay. That's right, where you're at out there, you got a lot of small lakes. I was thinking of Lake St. Clair. It's probably the reason why my back is so messed up on that rough lake.
Yeah, well, I like some kind of two sections, and it's one side's open to the wind, and it's very cold. The other side's a little sheltered, so it's actually pleasant. We're just meandering, going very slow. It's too cold to go fast.
Yeah, I had a Sea-Doo Speedster twin engine jet boat, and you can go like up to 5 miles an hour, or you had to get up on plane, which is about 25. So there wasn't. If I wanted to do 10 or 15 miles an hour, my bow was sticking straight up out of the water. It was like floundering. So yeah, with that boat, it was, you know, 5 or 6 miles an hour, no wake. But then to go any faster than that, I had to get up on plane. So yep, that was a fun boat. This is WAEAP.
friends who are also on this lake, and we're going to go pick them up. They're going to sit and freeze with us. So I got to maneuver. I'm getting close to their place. I got to concentrate on maneuvering, getting there. So talk to you later. Just wanted to make sure their computer's working decently before I haul it up to the site. So, just testing it out. Catch you later, ABAPR. Have a great day.
Yep, you too. Have a great day. WEAP.
Hello, this is WAVIJ calling on the K8FBI repeater. WAVIJ calling on Echolink and taking any call.
DDZ from W8FU.
ABPR Marine Mobile.
Oh yeah, you out on your little lake there, or somewhere else?
Yeah, just out on the lake. Little breezy, but it's nice.
Are you dressed up like Thurston Howell?
Well, of course. Yep. We're out here on our yacht.
All right. Well, don't shipwreck if you're only on a 3-hour tour. All right, you guys have fun. I just pulled in at home. I was meeting up with Mike, VDZ. You probably remember him from breakfast. Anyhow, I was getting him a node, my last Shari. So get him squared away with that. Anywho, wanted to ask you about something. You know, with the newer All-Star Link, they don't announce the IP address when you boot up. And he's got an iPhone, which doesn't tell you the IP address, so it's this, you know, catch-22. So I'm trying to find the simplest solution. There's a couple of people that have written some, one guy wrote a script, and another one gives instructions on how to do that, but I can't quite figure it out. We sat there and did everything by the book, and still can't get it to announce the IP on Connect. All right, anyhow, I'll let you get back to what you're doing there, and we'll catch you later. I'm going to get inside the house. After yours, W8FU.
Yeah, if you're talking about ASL3, I figured out how to do that. I've got all that information, how to make that work. So I can send that to you.
Okay, yeah, do that when you get a chance. No rush. But I found pretty good instructions online, but I followed everything to T and triple checked and quadruple checked, and you know, you gotta make an auto patch function 6.9, and then you do a shell script to call it, and then you put it in a startup macro. You know, *690, and it's supposed to play. And I did everything by the book, triple checked it. I don't know if that sounds familiar to you, but just couldn't get it to work. All right, I appreciate anything you'd send. Have fun. W8FU.
Okay, one quick one, another question. I want to get them in tomorrow afternoon or Tuesday afternoon. I want to put the repeater back to the site. I think you said you wouldn't be available to help with that, right?
Probably not. Mondays are especially bad, and I've got a ton of stuff this week. So, you know, I wouldn't be available until well after 4, you know, 4 plus drive time, and if I was going to be available to help.
Okay. I'll see what I can come up with. All right. Catch you later. Hey, being here.
All right, and if something changes or if my schedule in any way looks like it'll break, I'll let you know. WAFU. W8FU.
Hello, Cave FBI. Old friends are on this frequency, I believe. Let's see, W8FU, are you listening? This is Whiskey India 8X-ray, a.k.a. N8FZT.
I am. Is that Chris?
Yes, it is, Sean. How you been?
Well, good day, sir. Long time, no talk. How you been?
Pretty good, pretty good. You know, I put in for that call that you've got, but in fact, somebody gave me $50 to get that call. That person was he still is a pervert, and the reason he wanted that call so that he could call me Whiskey 8 Fornicating Unicorns. And I went, oh, yeah, no, I'm not going for that call just for that reason. He goes, oh, come on. He goes, you could also be mistaken for someone who's wearing frilly underwear. I went, oh, stop. And I put in for the 2x1 that I got, Whiskey India 8 X-ray, because I made the mistake of telling somebody on D-Star the call that I was going to go for was November 8 India Foxtrot, because I thought it would be a good call on CW. Unbeknownst, and it's the standard rule. You don't tell people what you're going for on the radio because someone else is going to get it before you. And that's just what happened. Some guy south of Tampa, 7 miles south of Tampa, got the call, N8IF. And I couldn't be mad at anybody but myself.
Well, of course, the rules nowadays, any call that becomes available, no matter what, has to be you know, in the public for, I forget how long it is, a month? I think 30 days. So, you know, if somebody is looking for a call, anything that you may want, you know, you're going to have to contend with, you know, in that 30-day window, which I was upset about because I had been watching my call, the call I currently hold. I have been watching it since the 90s. And I knew that it had become available. And it was long from being available. You know, you got the 2 years you got to wait. So I went ahead and I got the death certificate, and I forwarded it to the FCC and got it released, and then I still had to wait, and everybody had to have a shot at it. Used to be, if you were the one that notified the FCC of a call being available, it didn't naturally run its course. You could beat everybody to the punch, because the day it showed up at the FCC's website was usually a day ahead of all the websites reporting it. They don't get it until the midnight upload, and then so most people wouldn't know that it was available until the next day, unless you specifically knew a specific call were coming available, and you just check, and then the day it comes available, you put in for it. You're the only one that put in for it. Well, that got shut down when they did the 1 month thing, so I had to contend for it. But lo and behold, I got it, and like I said, I had been actively pursuing it since the 90s, and so it happened. But other than that, nothing else really regarding that. You got to kind of, that's the way it's got to be, and. I know what I was going to say. You know, one thing I really feel strongly about, hold on. I feel very strongly that there should be a weighting system. They should weigh the applicants. And a person, an eight-lander applying for an eight call should get either a point or not lose a point or something like that. Everybody starts with 10 points, and you lose a point. You know, if you're not in the call district, you lose a point if you've put in for a call within the last, you know, X amount of time, 1 year, 2 years. You lose a point, a couple, there should be some waiting. But a person that's going for the first and only time they've ever put in for one and within their own district should have a little waiting over a four-lander trying to get an eight-land call, and it's the fourth call he's, you know, applied for and gotten in the last, you know, 2 years.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I like that idea. Actually, my first choice was N8IF. My second choice was WI8X. And the third choice, my God, am I glad I didn't get that call, was no November Tango 8 Foxtrot. Would have been the same call minus the Z. Boy, was I glad I didn't get that one. But I ended up getting WI8X. WI8X was Dick Wolf. He lived in, I think, South Lyon or something like that. He was one of my best repeat customers when I worked at Michigan Radio. He'd come in twice a week just to see what was going on, check prices, and then he'd drop in on Saturday with a dozen donuts for us guys, and he'd buy something. And even if he didn't buy anything, the donuts were always welcome. And not a cop in sight. But it was a lot of fun. And Dick passed away, and I saw the call sign on the availability list, and I went, holy smoke, did Dick pass away? And then I checked around a little bit. Yeah, he did. He passed away, you know, 3 years before I even saw the call that was available. So, and then here I go into the Livonia Club meeting, because I'm a member there, and the LARC, and out of that, three members of the club come up to me, and they said, wow, you got Dick Wolf's old call. I went, you knew him? They went, yeah. He says, you can only do him proud. I went, thank you. I was really impressed, so I made three new friends right off the bat. And one of them being a repeater owner, KPLW. You know Dan Saputo, I'm sure.
Yeah, for a while. I remember you got that call. I remember it's been a little bit. You've had it, so I do remember. But everybody remembers your old call, you know. But it's like mine. Everybody remember mine now. You know, I even get people saying, what was your old call? So it doesn't take long. My call belongs to somebody else now. They live out by Grand Rapids, in that area. And, you know, one thing, I don't know how prolific the previous owner of W8X was. But that's a, you know, that's a thing too. W8FU was almost invisible. You know, there's almost no modern digital fingerprint for him anywhere. I've searched the internet high and low, and I found one reference to him. I mean, I couldn't, even finding his obituary was a real bear, because I needed that when I applied to get the call released. And, I mean, I knew him, you know, I knew the guy, and, you know, but he had no digital footprint whatsoever. And there's like one mention of him in like some, I don't know if it was the Finley Amateur Radio Club was doing a thing down at Voice of America out of Dayton, and he wrote a couple of paragraphs about the station at VOA, I think it was, VOA, that was it. And it was like literally the only reference I could find to him at all. It was really, really sparse. So that's good because, you know, I pretty much, you know, it's a, even though it's been held by, you know, 10 people, 8, 10 people over the years since 1912, and, you know, there's literally no digital footprint of it. So that's kind of important. I know my call, WX8L, you know, my old call, that poor guy, oh, my God, there's nowhere he's going to go where I didn't pollute it and probably grab the WX8L at or the WX8L login for almost everything he's going to do related to ham radio. I feel for the guy.
Exactly. I actually thought about taking my Elmer's call. My Elmer moved out of the state, and he's got a 2x2 call still. He's WD4RT, lives in Tennessee, I think. But his call, his previous call was KB8YM, Yuckety Muck, Yellow Mustard, whatever. But too many people knew him by that call, and I thought I'd constantly be reacquainting myself with them, and I thought, nah, not going to do that. But it's kind of weird. One day I put out my call, and someone said, "Who is that? Bootleg and Dick Wolf's call." I went, "What?" Yeah, okay. And the guy, he says, "I'm gonna tell Dick." I said, "Well, he's been gone for 3 years, guy. I'm sorry if I'm the first one telling you about it." But yeah, it's kind of weird. I was gonna go after his call. I was going to go after another call sign, and I thought, yeah, the same thing's going to happen. I'm going to have to reacquaint myself with everybody who used to be friends with that person, and I thought, nah, I got to go for a call that nobody's heard before. And I really wanted N8IF, you know. Then I tried for W8IF. That was available, but I missed that. Missed that one, too. That one, just think I could slur the 8 and say, "What if?" But, yeah, that was fun. One of my friends, when I worked for the National Disaster Medical System in the Federal Emergency Management Agency, my partner at Ground Zero was WB8RNY. Well, Jerry was an advanced for 50 years, and I guess he just couldn't stand the fact that I passed him by and got my extra. And I said, "Jerry, you don't have to change your call. Everybody's known you as a WB8. He goes, "Yeah, but," he goes, "the call that I always wanted just became available." He says, it's been on the thing for a few days. So he says, "I got to go for it." And all it was a guy that lived in Clinton Township whose call was W8RNY. So all he did was drop the B. He got his extra and dropped the B. I thought, well, you didn't have to go and get your extra just to get the 1x3 call. You could have got it with your, you know, with your advanced status, but oh well. He just wants to feel competitive. Okay, fine. Actually, Sean, I passed the extra class exam in 1986. November of 86, I went to take my general class license because all the tests that I had taken in 85 through all EW that I built my WIX. He says, all you have to do now is pass two written exams and you'll be done testing. He goes, I give you an advanced class license test, but he says, I had 9 guys come in for the test and that's all the tests I have. So I got one extra class test. The guy that was supposed to take it didn't show, so you want to take it? He says, what? I said, the extra class written? I have no idea what's on the test. I haven't not prepared. He goes, long answer, Chris. I'm looking for a yes or a no. He goes, who knows? You might get lucky. I did get lucky. I got 4 wrong. I passed. So I passed the extra written and the extra code. All I needed was to do is pass the advanced class written test within a year, and I would have been an extra way back when you were.
Oh, you got it ahead of me if you got it in 80, what'd you say, 86? You got it by a couple of years. I think it was 89, I forget for sure, but I know it wasn't 90 yet, but I got my extra just at the close. So if you got it 86-ish, you got me beat there. But yeah, it's kind of an odd way around, but, you know, all roads will get you there, right? W8FU.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I remember back in the day when in the Yurceka Club, a lot of you guys were going after the WX, the Whiskey X-Ray 8 call signs. I mean, there's only 26 of them, right? I'm trying to remember some of the guys. I can see their faces, can't remember their names or their calls, but you were amongst that hallowed group. And I don't know if that many of them are still around. I don't know if you were on packet radio. Back in the day, the big packet BBS in Wayne County was WA8008. Belonged to a guy named Ron Paterka. Ron moved up to the Upper Peninsula, and he got his extra, and he became WADR. And sadly, Ronnie passed away in July of last year. But and a cousin of mine in the Hazel Park Club, W8DR, John Lewandowski, who tested me for my general, and it's kind of weird. I'm listening to a guy who's taking the extra class code test, and I'm writing it down verbatim on my scratch paper, and I go, I said, hey, is it too late for me to take the code test? He goes, yeah, we already scratched you off the list. I went, huh? I said, haven't you heard of Whiteout? I says, here, look. And he says, yeah, you would have passed. I went, what it was a guy who was sitting next to me had his headphones cranked up so loud that I was hearing it. He probably didn't have one headphone on his ear. And I was hearing it, you know, and I was writing it down. I thought, I couldn't believe I was doing it. I thought, it must be a, because I had not realized that my code speed was up that high yet. But it was so weird. He goes, no, I can't give you the credit for it, although you would have passed. I went, oh, sugar.
Yeah, I remember John. He used to speak quite frequently, but he's left us some years ago now. I don't think it was necessarily WX we were all in a rush for. It was a whole bunch of us, but we were just trying to get in at the end of the 2x1s because they were going to be gone. It was going to be AA8, you know, AA. And, yeah, so, you know, you had RPAG, got WY and M, and, you know, I got WX and WY. Who else got some... WSAD and that, and those guys were a little earlier. It was just some of us right at the tail end there were trying to just get anything before they ran out. I would have never got my extra. I was quite content. But I got a really stinky amateur advanced call. And I didn't know that you could simply just submit and get a new one. And you couldn't pick what you wanted at that time, but you could just say, oh, I don't like this. You could put in for another, you know, call sign, and you'd get the next one. And I hated my advanced call. And so I said to myself, okay, that's it. I got to upgrade, you know, because that's the only way I'm going to get rid of this stinky thing. There were no vanity calls at the time. I'm glad I didn't know you could just put in for another one, because I might have been content to just stay there. But instead, I forced myself, and unlike you, by the skin of my teeth, I was able to get to 20 and pass, you know, 7 out of 10 questions, chicken scratch, the whole nine yards. You know, if I didn't have the luxury of 7 out of 10 questions and, you know, being able to, you know, have a chicken scratch on paper, I would have probably, you know, I'd probably never been able to. If I had to do a solid minute copy, forget it. Never would have happened. But you know, I pushed myself, and, you know, I was able to do it, and I'm glad I did. And, you know, and that was all just to get in at the tail end of the 2x1s. And then I know they ran out, and then Don and Mike Mastrovito, they both got an apartment in Maryland or somewhere out that way, and both got WX3 L and M. That was kind of cool. So I was WX8L, and Mike was WX3L, and Don got, because they went together, WX. 3M. He's long since, you know, moved on to KDB. And Mike stole WX3M, so he's the last of the WXs, the old native ones. But as soon as they started vanities and people started getting WX, you know, you could just wipe your butt and get a WX call. It lost its charm for me. And if I had a dollar for every time somebody would monkey up my call and say, oh, W8XL. I just got so sick of correcting people. Anyway, and it doesn't matter. They don't got to know your call right. But, yeah, but it was annoying. And, you know, it just lost its charm for me. And the only thing it had is that everybody knew me as that. And I said, who cares? I said, I joked when the day that the vanity calls were reestablished back in, what was it, 93, 95, whatever the hell it was, somebody said, you going to change yours? And I'm like, nope. Love my call. The only way I'll change it is one call comes up, WAFU. WAFU comes up, if Brian McLaughlin passes and that call becomes available, then I'll upgrade. Other than that, I go, I'm done. And
FBI.
I watch them every year, every couple of 6 months.
Oh, so you went for the call just because it was a good CW call, right?
That's exactly it.
Actually, I enjoyed... You know, it's kind of funny. I got one of those Zhaozhou or XIEGU. I got a G90. I was playing on CW. I thought I had the carrier turned off. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just sending my calls, learning to send WI8X. It's not that easy because it's all dashes, except for the I and the 8. But... NAWZT had a lot of dots in it, and my hand, as soon as I got on the paddles, NAWZT flowed out of the fingers before I could even think of WI8X, and I got a call from a guy in in another state, and I went, what? I hear somebody calling for me on what? I'm looking around and I'm, oh my God, I've been on the air all this time sending? Oh no. And I went back to my, dude, I just did literally D-U-D-E. I haven't worked CW in 15 years. Bear with me. And the guy says, you got to be kidding the way you're sending you. I went, yeah. I thought I was practicing. I thought I had the carrier turned off. But anyway, it was funny. Although I did make a voice contact with a guy in near Cheyenne, Wyoming. Get this, Sean. I thought it was hilarious. The guy is operating a G90 like I am. The neat thing about the G90 is it's got one hell of an antenna tuner in it. That little tiny radio you never would think, but it can't. I don't think it's got a large enough puff capacitor, and I think they're using coils and toroids, like a solid state type of antenna tuner, because I had a piece of coax with probably 18 inches long, and I had bared the ends on it. The shield side, I alligator clipped to my ground wire, and the other one I clipped to my 15-speed bicycle that was sitting in my room. And I'll be damned, I made a contact in Cheyenne, Wyoming, or somewhere near Cheyenne, Wyoming. It was hilarious. The guys gave me a 5.9 plus 20. I went, what? And he goes, I said, thank you for the flowers, but, break, WIX, thank you for the flowers. But you never believe what I'm using for an antenna. In fact, I'm afraid to even tell you what I'm using for an antenna. He goes, well, what kind of radio are you running? I said, I'm running a G90. He goes, I'm running a G90. I went, oh, wow.
FBI. Hi.
And but he was left-speed bicycle. He goes, what is standard? When I lived at my parents' house, I had a Nye Viking MB4A.
Oh yeah, those will get it done. I've got a Meritron, the ATR 3000 or 3K, 5K, the big Meritron, and that's a very good tuner. I think it gives the Nye is beefy, but there's hardly nothing the Meritron won't handle. ATR 30, that's it. And I got one of those. There's one right now for sale on Facebook Marketplace. I think guy's asking $250. That's a smoking hot deal on a last tuner you'll ever have to buy. But if you're looking for automatic, it's not that. If you're looking for something that can handle all the snot you'll ever be able to give it, you know, that's your Huckleberry. So, I got one. Paid more than that for it. Great tuner. They really are. You just got to open them up and just take care of all the MFJ, quote-unquote. You know, take care of the MFJ, loose this or loose that, and then you got yourself a built-forever lifetime tuner. So, but yeah, you're right, the Nye Vikings are quite nice as well. I always kind of wanted one of those, but the ATR 30 does a lot better on 160. So that's why I wanted it. That'll be my legal limit. And then some 160 tuner when I play there. Right now it's just sitting on a shelf. All right, Chris, it's been a pleasure. I got to get to some stuff here, though, Sunday night. I got some things I got to take care of, work tomorrow. It's good hearing you, and we'll catch you next time. But after yours, I think I'm going to pull the plug here. W8FU.
Okay, Sean. Hey, if you know anybody that's got a wants, needs an XTS 5000, I've got one. It's Desert Storm, nice radio. It's Coyote Brown, and it's FPP. You don't see that many of them with front panel programmability. I haven't had it on CPS because I don't have CPS. So I never could figure out how to use the scan feature on it because it was FPP. So I don't know if the scan feature works on it while it's in FPP. But if you know anyone that wants one, I've got one. And I'll sell two. I'll give them two for. I paid $4.25 for it, and if I get $4.25 for it, I'll give the person two chargers. a desktop charger and a DC charger, because I would have no use for a DC charger after I get rid of it. But, you know, the DC charger alone is $50. The desk chargers, cripes, they're dime a dozen. But I'm planning on getting rid of all my Jedi series. I've got a UHF JT-1000, a VHF JT-1000, and I think I have two or three MTX-9000s. I'm going to hang on to those. I like 900. It's a good band. I even got a 900 repeater sitting over here. 30-watt, homebrew. It's got a flat pack duplexer in it, and I've stuck it in an old IBM XT case. Had to take the power supply out just to make the two radios fit, but the fan works, and that's all that's necessary, right? It's got a little idea card on it that sends out N8FZT/R at 9 minutes 59 seconds, it sends the call, only while the repeater's in use. It's not like all the other repeaters with the controllers, where the controllers does more talking than the people do. But, hey, it's been great talking to you. Always a pleasure, too, buddy. Have a good one. WIDX.
Yeah, just one thing before I drop out of here. Send me an email with the details, maybe a picture of what you got and the details. I didn't catch whether it was VHF or UHF, and I don't want to get into it here now. If you could email me the details and what you're looking for, and I'll shop it around for you. Anyhow, good talking. Catch you later. W8FU.
Roger that. We'll do. W8FU.